Does everyone else on this stage think it is more important to protect billionaires than it is to invest in an entire generation of Americans?
Thank you, Senator Warren.
We cannot afford a billionaire class whose greed and corruption has been at war with the working families of this country for 45 years.
I'm not sure anybody cosmically or morally deserves to have $1 billion, but I don't hold it against them.
2020 Democratic candidates Pete Buttigieg, Bernie Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren there weighing in on billionaires. Well, another one may be entering the presidential race. Former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg expected to file papers today to be on the Democratic presidential primary ballot in Alabama. The other billionaire in the race is Tom Steyer, the California hedge fund manager and liberal activist. He, though, is in a little bit of hot water after the AP reported a top aide was offering campaign contributions to Iowa politicians in exchange for endorsements. Yet another billionaire was in the news this week wading into presidential politics. That's Bill Gates. He criticized Elizabeth Warren's wealth tax. Well, joining us now to talk about all of this and about whether billionaires can either save us or sink us is Anand Giridharadas. He's Time Magazine's editor-at-large and author of the book Winners Take All, The Elite Charade of Changing the World. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. You forgot to mention that I'm also this program's chief billionaires correspondent.
You're the only billionaire correspondent. So there you go. So
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. So what do you think? How does a possible Bloomberg candidacy change the dynamics of this race?
It turns out that 40 years of plutocracy is not enough for the plutocrats. you have lived under their experiment in cutting government, cutting taxes, cutting regulation, and seeing what would happen. And we've seen what's happened. Half the country being bypassed by economic growth for 40 years, smaller and smaller number of people having more and more wealth, half of income in this country going to the top 1%. The things your listeners know about from having heard about it so much in recent years. And now, finally, there are real political alternatives gaining traction. Bernie Sanders had a strong run in 2016. Now in 2020, you have two candidates in the top three who are of that general bent of mind, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, talking about kind of ending the era of capital, ushering in a much more activist notion of government that would, frankly, end the Second Gilded Age, put the plutocrats in their place, take away a lot of their wealth and power, and restore democracy. And as this has happened, we have witnessed in the last days the great Plut freakout of 2019.
The great Plut freakout. Well, do you think that's why Bloomberg did this? Or do you think, I mean, he's saying, look, I'm just going to keep an open mind. And if I see that none of these candidates can beat Trump, then I'll really go for it.
You got to go in that. Because first of all, there's a pattern. Before he made his noise yesterday, for the last many days, you've had Leon Cooperman, this hedge fund billionaire, you know, tearfully going on TV saying, I feel demonized. She's going after us billionaires. We give so much back. You got Mark Zuckerberg saying, hey, careful. If you come after us billionaires and our wealth, there's going to be less medical research out there through philanthropy. You got Bill Gates saying, you know what? This is not exactly my cup of tea. It's going to hurt innovation. You got Steve Rattner, who manages Michael Bloomberg's money, writing an op-ed saying, you know what, this is really going to hurt people. And what's very interesting, all these talking points from the Plutes, is that they never say this is bad for me, which is the real motivation. They always say, this is bad for you. We care about you, the people. We care that if private equity gets cramped, it's going to make businesses less efficient. That's going to be bad for you, the people. And I think people are seeing through that. So Bloomberg then comes on the scene and is very clearly motivated by the fact that two of the three strongest candidates, and perhaps the front runner right now, if Elizabeth Warren is the front runner, is someone who is very much coming for the wealth and power of people like Mike Bloomberg. At a gun safety event not long ago, he said to her as they were crossing backstage, you know, you wouldn't have this platform to talk at, this gun safety forum, if my business hadn't been so successful. It's a nice speech, but enough already. He's made it very clear that this is a worldview he thinks should not be there.
So why does
he is not trying to run for president. He's possibly contemplating trying to buy a nomination.
So why doesn't he just put his money behind another candidate, a Cory Booker, for example?
If you think that a billionaire would actually, you know, stand behind the scenes and support someone else and amplify them, you haven't spent time with billionaires, and I congratulate you for that. You know, the basic reality is, a big part of being a billionaire is often vanity. And, you know, this 67-year-old white guy who's very rich, I think he's looking at American life and thinking, you know what America needs? More 77-year-old white guys asserting power. So it's just a fascinating analysis that happens to be wrong. And I think of it with some amount of hope as actually what last gasps of a system look like. I really do think, having spent a lot of time traveling around this country in recent months, more and more people, including people on the right, are actually sick and tired of the plutocracy. They may like small government more, they may like big government more, but most people don't like the country feeling like it's run for the 1% or the 0.1%.
So then,
and I think Tom Steyer, Howard Schultz, Mike Bloomberg, Zuckerberg, the whole group, I think they are so out of touch, and they just better have a better pitchfork defense strategy than they seem to have right now.
Well, then why is it that there are only two candidates who are actively taking on the billionaires? I mean, you had Pete Buttigieg in that little bit that I just played sort of say, okay, I'm not sure anyone deserves to have $1 billion morally, but I don't hold it against them. No one is really coming out against the billionaires aside from Warren and Sanders in the Democratic field. So if everyone doesn't like them, why aren't more of the candidates coming out against them?
Well, I think, to be frank, Sanders and Warren just have shown themselves to be the kind of cojones candidates on this issue. And the reason it takes a lot of courage is that's a lot of money to turn down or to turn away. And part of the paradox of the billionaireization of America is that as you transition to a society in which more and more surplus wealth is not in average people's savings accounts, but in the, you know, Swiss bank accounts of a smaller and smaller number of people, everything relies on those people more and more, even challenging the system, right? You still require to become president, to become a senator, to become a congressperson, you need money. And more and more of that money is in smaller and smaller number of hands. And Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders have been brave enough to try to build campaigns that were not reliant on their money. And I think, frankly, a lot of the other candidates, Joe Biden prominent among them, simply does not have the grassroots energy. There's a lot of people supporting Joe Biden. I haven't met that many people excited about Joe Biden. They don't have the grassroots energy to support a campaign that doesn't want plutocratic money.
Well, so that's also what some people are saying, that Joe Biden really suffers with Bloomberg entering the race because he takes over the middle lane. Couldn't this backfire and actually give more power to the Warrens and the Sanders, the left side of the field, when Michael Bloomberg enters the race?
There is so much backfiring going on. A part of me wonders if some of these plutocrats, I don't think this is the case, but part of me wonders whether they're engaging in a kind of performance art, consciously or subconsciously, to end their own reign. Because it's like every time they talk, they shorten the life of plutocracy by 10 minutes. And, you know, when the world's richest or second richest or third richest man is talking about how if we raise taxes, you know, it would stifle innovation and this and that, when frankly most people in this country can't get a decent education to be able to innovate in the first place. I mean, it's so out of touch that it almost feels like some of these billionaires are secretly trying to endorse Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren.
Wow. Okay, you heard it here first from Press Play's chief billionaire correspondent, Anand Giridharadas, author of the book, Winners Take All, The Elite Charade of Changing the World, now out in paperback. Anand, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Coming up today, the one-year anniversary of the start of the worst wildfire in California history. Thousands of people fled to nearby Chico, and they're still there. How Chico has coped, next on Press Play.